We would like to welcome you to the Red Jono Radio Show.
The Red Jono Radio Show.
With your host, the leader and company. Stay tuned.
Good evening, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is having a great day. I'm hoping you guys can hear me. I'm using my mixer today, so I'm going to see if this is going to work. So bear with me, you guys. Just bear with me. Okay. Now, I want to welcome you to the Red Jono Radio Show. And like I said, tonight is a monster off my back. I have a lot to talk about, and I'm going to try to do it in 90 minutes as opposed to my 2 hours. I am just like so crazy. Okay. Let's do a meditation first because that needs to be done. I need it right now. Okay. I'm just going to say like I feel it. I need it right now. Okay. Here we go. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Wow, if you guys only knew how things have been going for your host, you would not believe it. I have been sick for the last, I think it's been 4 days. So when you guys have a wonderful husband, please appreciate them. I mean, don't nag them as much as I do. But don't nag them. And really, really, if you have a husband that has a nurturing part to him, he's not gay. He just has a nurturing part. He knows how to take care of his wife. He did a great job. And it feels so good to talk again. It feels so good to breathe again because I haven't been able to do that for a while. Not breathe, but without having to blow my nose. And, you know, I kind of probably still sound like I'm kind of stopped up. But, hey, look, I'm just going to have to roll with it now because I said, I have to do this show tonight because I know I have so much crap right now on my head that I'm about to explode if I don't get it off because there's so much stuff that's going at me. And, you know, sometimes you guys, you come to a point in your life, not everybody, but some people, I don't have a lot of stuff going on in my life, so I have time to sit back and reflect and look at things and analyze and use my conspiracy theorist antennas and look at things differently. And, of course, I get help from my Facebook people, friends, with my news feed. I find a lot of stuff. I don't use my Twitter as much. Tonight was the first time that I actually went on my Twitter and actually used it, and it was because I was promoting my radio stations. One is on TuneIn, the other one is on Airtime Pro. So I was kind of, I have shows, both shows going on two different places at two different times. And it was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and promote them because I haven't been doing any, too much of anything, actually. So that's Universal Collective Network. You guys on TuneIn. Okay. Thought I would do that for you. And then we'll talk about Universal Collective Network and our lineup, the shows that we have on here. And you guys, if you are on Blog Talk and you're very familiar with Blog Talk, these are shows that are coming from Blog Talk. So you have other apps. Very proud of that. Now, like I said, I wanted to get this stuff off my chest. I had time to rest and really think about stuff. And when your mind is clear and you don't have a lot of stuff going on in your life, you can take time out and do this. Not everybody can do it because everybody's not not prepared to take that time out. And I was just so happened today I was talking to my best friend, and we were talking business. And I was sitting there, and I was giving her all this great information, and it blowed my mind, not because I had the information. It's the idea that I don't know if anybody else does this, but I am good at giving pointers to other people and suggestions to other people, but I don't use those suggestions for myself. Is anybody who's familiar with someone who does that, I need to talk to my therapist again about that. But that's what I'm going through. It's like I have all this great info, but I don't use it for me. I always find myself giving it to others, you know. I'm a giver, and I found that out, that I'm the type of person where I love to give to others. I want others to be able to enjoy whatever that is, that gift or whatever, that little bit of information, advice, or whatever you want to call it, that I'm able to give them, tips, tidbits, whatever. And when I realized that I'm doing this, and I said to her, I said, damn, I'm pretty good with some of this stuff, these ideas that go crazy. Like running through my mind, and I'm throwing them at her, and she's like shocked, like not shocked that I've said it. It's just like, you know what? You're right. She's in a situation where she's very sick, and it's only certain things that she can do. So I was trying to give her a suggestion of something that won't take a lot of strength out of her, or won't take a lot out of her. And all would probably just basically, all she would need is her computer and her mind. You know, nothing, you know, in the telephone, because, you know, you have to have a telephone to talk back and forth with the customers. But I was able to give her that information, and it was just like, my God, what the hell am I doing? Am I in the wrong business? Have I missed something? So in the awakening of that one segment, and then, like I said, when I was sick, I wasn't really concentrating on my sickness. My mind was all over the place, man. I mean, I had so much crap on my head. So you know what? I got to find a way to get it not only on my head, but on my back. You know, you sometimes find yourself carrying certain burdens that you really don't want to carry, but you seem to pick them up. You know what I'm saying? So tonight I want this to happen. I want to talk about the things that I think I should get out. Dealing with, you know, mainly my conversations, if I'm not talking about love, I'm talking about political, economic, community, justice, social issues, government, and Canada. So we're going to try to get all that in without me going off on the tangent, because you know, you guys, I'm greatly going off on tangent. Okay. Wow. Okay. As I was laying around thinking and watching the news, like, I really don't like to watch the news, but my husband does. And the reason why I don't is because I get a lot of my news off the internet. I just really do. Because they're more in-depth. They're more close to what we believe. And most of the news is controlled when you watch on regular television. But anyway, there's a lot of things going on. And as you know, if you look at the candidates and who won the different states, Bernie Sanders picked up Utah and Idaho. Hillary Clinton picked up Arizona. Trump picked Arizona was a given for Trump. I mean, we knew he was going to pick that up. So right now, Bernie Sanders is staying in there against Hillary Clinton. But Trump is still staying in for the Republicans, even though Cruz is there. Now, you guys, I kind of sometimes find myself making fun of different things because it's my way of understanding how something is created, I guess. And I'm talking about, I shouldn't say it created because it's a person. I think about Ted Cruz. Donald Trump is not really, but Ted Cruz is a funny character to me. And this is, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but Ted Cruz reminds me of a kid. When you get into power, I'm going to make all these people pay. And to me, think him as a president, he would be trying to get so much revenge out of every area of politics or out of every area of government he could do. I mean, he could. I see that in him. I see him as a little revengeful kid that wants to get back on all the people who bullied him. That's what I see with him. Trump, I see a straight-up racist, and I don't care what nobody says. This is my opinion. He is a racist. If you take his hair off, he would be a skinhead. He probably has a swastika tattoo somewhere on his body. Okay, I'm sorry. That's how I believe. And all you black folks who keep running up to him, you have a right to vote and believe in who you want to. But guess what? I love reality. Reality is a mofo. The reality is you just another to them. You're just another lazy to him. Okay? I don't care how much you try to impress. And now that I noticed how he's trying to press out his reputation the more and more he's in the polls. And I also heard that they want to get the RNC, because you know it's almost time in June for them to come up for their convention. They want the RNC to change the rules, even if he doesn't have enough delegates, because I think you have to have 1,237 delegates or something to that effect. He doesn't have enough delegates as of right now. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have an opportunity to get more. It's just right now he doesn't have enough delegates. So if he doesn't have enough delegates, they want the rules to change, and the Trump supporters want the rules to change so that he can get that nomination because they really don't want to give it to him. So right now he's trying to smooth out his attitude. He's trying to calm down. He's trying to make it sound like, okay, I'm no longer radical. But the damage has been done, okay? The damage has been done. Okay, so can he retrieve all that? I don't think so. Can he make people think differently? I think he has a strong possibility. Look what he did. The rage out of them. He got the true limb out of them, okay? And they're who they are. And that's good in a sense because we need to know who they are. So now they're dealing with this wild animal that they can't tame because people constantly are being harassed, brutalized whenever they go to the Trump rally. Now, freedom of speech is very important to everybody. Everybody deserves that. The idea that they feel that we're disrupting the Trump rally, maybe we are, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to admit that we are. Maybe we are, you know. But the reason why it's being done is because they're trying to prevent all this hate to continue to spiral out of control. And it's true. That goes for any non-supporters, protesters, and any Black Lives Matter members who are out there protesting against his whole bigotry and hatred that he's pushing or he's spewing out. Now, I was reading an article where it said that some of the non-supporters of Trump the protesters had been summoned by a ad in Craigslist, so they were being paid to disrupt. I don't know if that's true. Someone said they saw the ad. I am not verifying that because I don't know if that's true or not. It could. I mean, they play, money's played in all kinds of politics, especially during campaign time. You know, that's not nothing new, you know. So does it still mean just because they're being paid to do that, does it still mean that they deserve to be beat up, abused, harassed? I mean, no, of course not. You know, I don't think they should, but anyway. But that's where that is. Now, let's talk about Hillary Clinton real quick. When Bill Clinton was in office, and I think I've explained this to you guys before, when Bill Clinton was in office, I was very fascinated by Bill Clinton. I think it was the greatest thing because at the time I wasn't knowledgeable and I wasn't smart enough to pay attention to what was really going on with him. So there was no way that I knew that he had created, or he also assisted in the creation of the prison industrial complex along with Reagan. Now, I know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with one of President Nixon's aide that died. He stated that the whole purpose of the war on drugs was toward hippies and black folks. So he actually started there. It actually started there. So it just trickled down, especially with the heroin epidemic. Now, if you see now, the heroin epidemic is going on right now to this moment. The heroin epidemic is happening right now. So with the heroin epidemic starting to hit the white suburban area all over again, now they come out with the reason why war on drugs happened and what it's whole the premises for it, okay? Now, that was very interesting to know. You know, but like I said, I didn't know back then what I know now. And if I know now, I don't think I would have actually voted for him. Because, for one thing, you have to look at where he came from. He came from Arkansas. Okay? And all the time that him and his wife, quote unquote, were in Arkansas, all this stuff was going on. So it's just like Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. That's how I look at it. And that, you know, Texas, according to a poll, they said Texas is like one of the most racist states there is. Surprised me to the point where Louisiana is number 8. Wow. Okay. That really blowed my mind. Maybe because it's from my experience, I see it a little bit more, but hey, that was a poll. Maybe somebody had something against Texas and they needed to say that. I don't know. But that was a poll that I read. Now, getting back to the idea of Hillary Clinton. Now, they have a legacy, and I don't know why we as black folks continue. We continue on a daily basis supporting these people that have no inkling of an ideal to deal with us. None. They don't want to deal with us. But because we're so visual, okay, they have to. They have to bring up something. They have to do something. Something has to happen for them to make sure they make us relevant. I think it's only around the time that we want to vote that we become relevant to them. So she needs those votes. And we, black folks, guess what we do? We vote for them. I mean, it's inevitable. We vote for them. We don't care. We vote for them. And that was a conversation I kind of had with my husband. I'm not doing it. He did. That's him. Usually we vote together. Usually we vote for the same person. But we kind of differ on this thing right now. Which is fine. No big deal. Not a big deal. Either way it goes. if our vote really count, we wouldn't need Electoral College. But anyway, I don't want to tell people that their votes don't. But anyway, now, you look at Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, like I said, and I've said this before, Bernie Sanders has one thing against him. He doesn't believe we need reparations. I have that issue with him. I can deal with that. I don't need. That's nothing major because if, no matter what he says, we don't need. If the UN says that they have to give it to us, he has no jurisdiction over it. UN says they have to give it to us. So, I mean, all he needs to do is sign the paperwork. Okay? Point blank. That's how that boils down to it. We made sure the Jewish people got theirs. Yeah, I said it. We made sure Vietnam, Vietnamese, Cambodians, Japan, or Japanese people, everybody got theirs but us. Why? Because we're not relevant. That's why it's going to take another 100 years, probably. Even though it's already been suggested that we should be getting it. Okay? So, that's the thing I have with Bernie Sanders. Now, we talked about Hillary Clinton, Donald. Oh, now there's Ted Cruz's wife. Donald Trump wants to spill the beans on Ted Cruz's wife about her being a call girl. Who cares? That's relevant. Your wife is naked on a bear skin rug or whatever that was she was with her breath out. Well, okay, so what? You know, I just think this petty stuff needs to stop, and they need to get down to the issue. Now, another thing, real quick, I want to talk about is the idea that, and please forgive me if I have this attitude. I'm sorry. The attack on Brussels, Belgium, okay? What a couple of those pictures they found debunked them. They said they come from another picture, something that happened in Moscow. I don't know, but somebody found that picture and said that picture was not real. Somebody said they actually came out and apologized that they used the wrong picture. Oh, well. Anyway, false flag. I'm saying it. This is a conspiracy theorist in me. It's just so convenient. See, this is what bothers me, and I wish everybody could just pay attention. Pay attention. It's just so convenient that this took place while our president was in Cuba. Do you see how convenient that was? While our president was in Cuba, all of a sudden, here's a bombing in Brussels, Belgium. Now, there was a lot of negative a conversation about the Belgian bombing. And it was African Americans making a point, just like we made a point when it came to terror. Same difference. Well, same thing. Brussels, Belgium, had, and I want to make sure I'm saying the correct thing. Don't want to say anything that is not correct. So, before I talk about this, I want to go and make sure that I'm correct with what I'm about to say. I think it's very important because I want to make a point. If you guys, just let me know if you've ever seen this picture where it says Belgium, in Brussels, Belgium, they had a human zoo back in 1958, okay? I didn't know all this, and that's why it's so good to pay attention. That was just in 1958. So, think about it. When you think about the idea that they actually had a human zoo, and guess was in the human zoo. It was us. Now, this comes from, I like to always cite where I get this information, so just in case you're interested in looking it up, you may. This comes from popularresistance.org. Okay? popularresistance.org. And according to this, it says racism is deeply embedded in our culture. Slavery of African people, ethnic cleansing of Native Americans, and colonialist imperialists are seeds that intertwine to create racism that still has impacts today. Excuse me. One example of the sad human history of racism, of colonizers seeing themselves as superior to others, is the long history of human zoos that featured Africans and conquered indigenous people, putting them on in much the same way as animals. Okay? It says people would be kidnapped and brought to be exhibited in human zoos. It was not uncommon for these people to die quickly, even within a year of their captivity. This history is long and deep and continued into the 1950s. Until the 1950s. Now, since throughout the early 20th century, Germany held what was termed a people's show. Africans were brought as carnival or zoo exhibits for passerbyers to gawk at. This was in Brussels, Belgium in 1958. Only decades before, in the late 1800s, Europe had been filled with human zoos in cities like Paris, Hamburg, Antwerp, Barcelona, London, Milan, and Warsaw. New York City saw these popular exhibits continue into the 20th century. There was an average of 200,000 to 300,000 visitors who attended each exhibition, in each city. Wow. Karl Hagenbeck of Germany ran exhibits of what he called purely natural populations, usually East Asian islanders. But in 1876, he also sent a collaborator to the Sudan to bring back wild beasts and Nubians. The traveling Nubian exhibit was a huge success in cities like Paris, London, and Berlin. The World's Fair, which everyone is very so much familiar with, in 1889 was visited by 28 million people who lined up to see 400 indigenous people as the major attraction. The 1900 World Fair followed suit, as did the colonial exhibitions in Marseilles. That was in 1906 and 1922, and then in Paris in 1907 and 1931, which displayed naked or semi-naked humans in cages. Paris saw 34 million people attend their exhibitions in 6 months alone. Wow. Did you know in the 20th century, the Cincinnati Zoo kept 100 Sioux Native Americans in a mock village at the zoo for 3 months? When I read that, my sympathy for Belgium, Brussels, kind of just like evaporated. Okay? It totally evaporated. When I think about the mindset of how people literally viewed us and our ancestors. It just not blowed my mind, because I'm not surprised at nothing anymore. I stopped being surprised a long time ago. Okay? I stopped being surprised a long time ago. So, with that being said, we're going to keep on this conversation, but we're going to take a little break and we shall return. So you guys sit back, relax, and I want you to enjoy
something a little different?
I want you guys to get an when you get an opportunity, I want you to check Universal Collective Network out on Airtime Pro. Also, I want you guys to check out Universal Collective on TuneIn. Right? Great conversation. When you have people who can talk and talk like we can. You can enjoy shows like the Dino Dean Show, Center Stage, Unmasked with authorist Terry Lyle, Delicious Talk with Gail Johnson. I think it's, and then we also have lots and lots of that we're working all the time to make sure we're doing the right thing for our music. And everything's changing. Everything is moving around. We're trying to do our best. So, just bear with us. Thank you.
What is this? Why are you saying shh if it's not picking up in the microphone?
You guys, we are back here on the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is your host, Sita, and again, we are in the process. My son has hooked me up so well, and I got scared. I panicked here a little bit about some issues I had going on here. I just want to make sure I can hear everything. Anyway, okay, we were talking about the human zoo from the reason why my heart is not so heavy about Brussels, Belgium right now is because of what was in our history. And, you know, it just amazes me how we have a habit of, like I said, we have a terrible, terrible habit of having a short memory when it comes to all the stuff that's happened to us, but we have a long memory when it comes to us doing stuff to each other. I've said that for a long time, and I truly mean it. That will never change. Okay, if you guys have any comments or questions, please call in at 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749. I am just like, I digress because I need to digress for just a second. Catch my breath. Take a deep breath. Okay. Now that you've talked about the human zoo out of Belgium, all the way up to the 1958. I'm going to move a little bit away from that. Why did that come up? Well, that came up because of the idea we were talking about for Belgium. I mean, Brussels, Belgium. Oh, there is another man that had a lot to do with Belgium that I totally forgot about. Another reason why I have the attitude. Real quick here. Oh, he was talk about Leopold II of Belgium. Article. And actually, he has a name. His name is called the Butcher of Belgium. Okay? Now, this is according to walkingbutterfly.com. You guys, please bear with me. I don't like to do a lot of reading, but I don't mind doing it. Okay? All right. It says, face or hear his name, you should get a sick feeling in your stomach as when you read about Mussolini or Hitler or see one of their pictures you see. He killed over 10 million people in Congo. Everybody knows where Congo is. Okay? His name is King Leopold II of Belgium. He owned the Congo during his reign as the constitutional monarch of Belgium. Colonial attempts in Asia and Africa, he settled on the Congo, so he got his ass whooped in two different countries. Wow. Okay. He bought it and enslaved its people, turning the entire country into his own personal slave plantation. He disguised his business transactions as philanthropic and scientific efforts under the banner of the International African Society. He used their enslaved labor to extract Congolese resources and services. His reign was enforced through work camps, body mutilation, torture, executions in his own private army. Most of us aren't taught about him in school. We don't hear about him in the media. He's not part of the widely repeated narrative of oppression, which includes things like Holocaust during the World War II. He's part of the white supremacist narrative in our school. It doesn't fit neatly into the school curriculum in a capitalistic society. Making overtly racist remarks is sometimes frowned upon in a polite society, but it's quite fine not to talk about genocide in Africa perpetrated by European capitalist monarch. Okay. So, again, why should I give a shit about Belgium? You guys, we actually have a caller on, and let me see if this caller has something very interesting to say. You're on the Red Journal Radio Show. How can I help you?
Hello, Michael Caine here.
Yes.
I've been in many movies and live a very lavish lifestyle. I won 2 Academy Awards.
Thank you, asshole, for wasting my time. Excuse me, you guys. I don't usually talk to my callers like that, but that was a total asshole. I'm going to tell you like it is. Don't play with me. Do not play with me. You should have better things to do on a Thursday night. Okay? This Friday's tomorrow. Enjoy yourself. Anyway, again, I have no sympathy whatsoever for Brussels, Belgium. Now, period. And I'm not going to change my mind for nothing or no one. Point blank. Okay. Now, let's talk about how I think this is going to sum all of this together. Yeah, I think this is going to sum some of this together, not everything. Okay. How do I really feel about America? Let's talk about how I really feel about America. I told you this is that monster that's on my back. One of the monsters, excuse me, that is on my back right now. When I look at America, I look at some place where at one time I was very, very proud of being part of. Okay, I understand this. I looked at America like we were the best thing ever walking, despite my knowledge of our past. I still felt proud. I felt proud enough to join the military. I felt proud enough to join the reserve. Felt even proud enough to join the National Guard. Because I, in my mind, thought I was part of something. I had a lot of white friends. I hung out with white folks. I hung out with all kinds of folks because that's what you do when you're in the military. Oh, I know it was a lot of that going on, but it wasn't including me. And if anybody ever confronted me with that bull crap, I would have taken care of it because that's me. I dated outside my race. I've done all that stuff. But what I realized with America is that America is vicious. America is evil. America is, oh gosh, America steals, lies, cheats, and kills. This great place that I thought that there's no place better than being in America. It amazed me that we're no different from any other country that has the same issues. Now, for some reason, it's always been on the cusp of things. The little racism has been at the bottom, you know, just sitting there. You know, every now and then it'll come out here and it'll come out there. But it just, you know, just every now and then it'll trickle in, you know. But when I realized that while it was trickling in, a system had already been set up so that all this that is going on could happen. So it's so amazing that all the behind the scenes was already being orchestrated and put in place, you know, so that we could get to this point. You know when they say history repeats itself? Yes, that's where we're at. History is repeating itself. Now, I'm going to say this to this caller, and I'm hoping this is a caller that's really for real. If you're not for real, I'm going to just hang up on you. So I'm going to stop what I'm saying, and I'm going to let 571 come in. This is the Red Journal Radio Show. Have any comments?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, I'm actually calling you from Hawaii tonight.
Okay.
Nice and warm here and listening to your show, enjoying it very much. Very excited for Easter. I have some big plans.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. As a Catholic, I just went through Lent. Do you know what Lent is?
Say that again. Repeat what you just said.
Well, it was just Lent for Catholics. Lent. Do you know what Lent is?
Yes.
And, of course, Catholics have to give some things up for Lent. Do you know what I gave up?
I can't understand what you're saying.
Do you know what I gave up for Lent?
Okay, what about Lent?
Well, I'm trying to tell you what I gave up for Lent.
Say that again?
I'm trying to tell you what I gave up for Lent.
Okay. So do you have a comment or question for the conversation or discussion we're having tonight?
Yes. Well, for Lent, I gave up something the ancient Greeks invented, anal sex.
Okay. For some reason,
I threw away all my lube. I threw away all my lube in case I lapse. And on Good Friday, I actually have some buttholes picked out.
You guys, I am going to say this again. Don't act ignorant. So, point blank. All right? Thank you. Now, like I was saying about America, all this time, and this can also go back to the ideal of former President Clinton, how we were all in awe of him. When all the time, most of these presidents, not all of them, were already kind of working behind the scenes so that we could get to where we're at now. And like I said before, history repeats itself. If there was an opportunity for them, even though people would protest it and get upset and get bent out of shape, there would be a colored and a white-only bathroom. There would be a colored and only white, believe me, if there was a possible, any inkling of a possibility that we could go back to that, we would be back to that right now. As you know, they said some of Donald Trump supporters' proclamation, they would take it back. So when you think about, now this is America, red, white, and blue. I pledge allegiance to the, you know what, I don't even say it anymore, so I can't even remember. But which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. I can't even remember the whole thing anymore because I stopped saying it. And you know what? I stopped saying it because I realized it's not the America that wants me here. And people say, oh, it's just a handful of us like that. No, 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 no. It's a lot of you guys like that. You so-called heart staunch Americans. You want to take back America. You want America great again. America, wake up, was never great. America was never great simply because of how America became what it is. So it was never great. The illusion is over. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Everybody was scared of Emerald City, the wizard. And when they pull back the curtains, it's this little tiny man that's making all this noise behind this big machine. That's how I see America. When you're poisoning, purposely poisoning populations of people, that's third world stuff. When you're pushing Planned Parenthood in the low-income communities around the nation, that's third world. When you're inoculating our children and our young women with these so-called vaccinations, that's third world. That's genocide. We can talk something so recently, the Flint crisis. I could talk about right here in our area. We have a whole area where there's 113 people who had died within a 9-month span of time from cancer in an all African American community. So, again, America, you've made a lot of for our young black men. Our education system is so laughable. It's so pathetic. Our schools are crumbling. But we have so much to be proud of. Oh, yeah. Proud. And then other countries are afraid of us? Please. Whoever got you with that illusion, take off the rose-colored glasses. Take them off, because reality is, America, you're no different than all the other countries who have enslaved who have committed total genocide, who have been a monster to their people, you're no different. You're no different. And this, excuse me. And then on top of that, the people who are here that really, really think that their views about mankind and humankind is correct, you want to beat me up? You want to destroy my way of living because of what? The color of my skin? Come on. Come on. You want to destroy my neighborhood because you don't like me? What have I done to you? And you guys, stop. Would you please stop this American dream bullshit? Okay? American dream? Please. What American dream? Please inform me about this American dream, because I have yet to see it. It is an American dream, because it's something that we dream about having that's really not there. It's an illusion. It's not. When you wake up, reality is we live in a world where people, we live in a nation where people literally hate you for the color of your skin. And I think about what Tupac said. He said, no matter how many degrees you have, how many accolades, how many titles you hold, you are still a nigger to them. And I'm saying it like they say it to us. You are still a nigger to them. Don't get that twisted, okay? You might hang out and rub elbows and do this, and you teach your children all of this, but they're still, they want to call you out your name. They're going to call you out your name. Let's look at our mass incarceration. Nixon, Reagan, Clinton was all part of that. This great big America. See, those are the workings behind the scenes. When laws and bills are passed in the Senate, in the House, those are laws that are passed not only on the federal level, but on the state level, in the city government level, that are constantly trickling, dripping with racism. Well, we're just so happy. They're nice to me. I don't have no problem with them. I don't know why you having problems with them. And this is all the time. This is all the time. And we, this is the America. And please do not get me wrong. We're not the only nation. That's why I said we're no different from any other. What makes us special? What? That's what I want to know. What makes America so special? Because if you compare us to a lot of these countries, we're no different. We love killing our people. That's why we have the death penalty. That's why we have rogue cops. Yes, I said it. Let me say this again. That's why we have rogue cops. And they can hide behind their badges. And they can hide behind the political and the politics. And they can hide behind the rules and regulations and the laws and the bills that are passed for them to continue to kill us. So, again, tell me what's so great about America. That's what I'm wondering. What is so great about America? Oh, you're living free. You're free. You can go wherever you want. Not really. Not really. No. Free is not only being free physically, you have to be free mentally and emotionally, and we're not. We're still in bondage. That's the reason why we're at the point in our lives that we're at. That's why we're like sheep to the slaughter. And we can disguise it. Answer me this quote unquote America. How can you, the oppressed, have the same God? Does that work? I don't know. Well, I can't say nothing because I used to be a victim. I call it victimizing. I used to be a victim to that until I realized, wait a minute, hold up. I'm going to the same church and I'm dealing with the same people and God bless you and pray for you. And guess what? Your ancestors were the same ones who did some devastating shit to me and my family and my ancestors. What the hell? So, you're holding a grudge and you're angry and you're really... No, I'm not angry. I'm woke. That's what I call it. I don't know what you call it. I call it being awake. And that I will not, no longer, go for the bullshit. I will no longer, not no longer, those are two words you can't use, those two double negatives, right? I will no longer not say anything. I will no longer think it's all right for my people to be mistreated, especially when they haven't done cabin and hunting trips. Oh, hell yeah. If you don't think they use that doggone N-word, it's probably every other word that come out their mouth, especially when they're talking about us. But come Monday morning, they're your boss, they're your supervisor, they're your coworker. And guess what? If you go to church with them, you're a church member. Yeah. So again, America, my attitude towards you is totally different. And you know, says, you know, why don't you go back to Africa? You know what? We black folks will start and take our asses back to Africa. America would be done. All right, you guys. All right. Sorry about that, you guys. I was about to end the show, and I decided not to. So, that's what happened. Okay, I'm back. So, if we actually packed up and moved Africa, that would make Africa even a greater continent. Let me say this again. It would make it a greater continent. It would be home. And all those other people that came in and stole and gold and diamonds and stuff, we kicked their asses out. Yeah, we kicked your asses out. And send you back to your own countries. And we'd build a biggest ass army you could ever build. From one end of the continent to another. That's what we would do. So when you holler, go back to Africa, don't give us no ideas. No ideas. Because in little old America. Now, oh, why are you anti-American? No, I have a right to my opinion about what I see. If you don't like to be criticized about how your country has poisoned, mutilated, genocided Americans because, quote unquote, we need population control. We need this, and they're not worthy of being on this in this America. Fuck you. Use my language. I'm sorry. Because America, despite what anybody thinks America was built on the backs of my people. You damn right. And let me say this again. America was built on the backs of my people. So if anybody don't belong here, it's you. You're the immigrant. And if there was enough Indians alive and we could come together, your asses would be probably shipped back to Europe and all those other places that you came. These so-called Americans. I'm so fed up, and I'm so fed up with the damn sellouts that tag along with them. How the hell can you be against the same people that look like you? That don't make no damn sense. How the hell can you be prejudiced against your own people? That don't make no. How are you gonna sit in a Trump rally? The only black person sitting in a Trump rally, and you hear him sitting up there, just degrading African Americans, and you sitting up there too. Do you know how stupid you look? So, you are fooling yourself. They sit back and laugh the hell at us. How stupid are these people? And you know what? Religion was purposely bought to us in order for us to be under control. And it's working then, and it's working now. That's a whole thing. So that's the reason why he said he don't believe, is because there's no way a true God would let us suffer as much as we do to have all the stuff that happened. Now, all the terrible things that happen. So I'm the type of person where I post up everything. I'm not too picky about what I post up. And I do it for a reason, because I want to get that feedback. One friend of mine, just you could hear the nastiness in it, because, oh my God, I defended somebody. I offended them, because we're so brainwashed. Okay? We don't want to see outside our little square box. Okay? This is our little square box, and how dare you not say. I always tell people, question everything. I don't care what it is. Question it. Research it. Okay? Because if you be a person to believe everything something or someone is telling you without you having facts to back it up, you're a fool. You're a fool. You are. So, America, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to digress a little bit. America, you don't even listen to your own words. You're a spoiled child that when you can't have your way, you have a temper tantrum. When you can't be in control, you get angry, and you pass bills that make sure that you stay in control. America, you're arrogant, and your white supremacy shows all over your face. So, can we forgive you? I particularly don't really care anymore. I'm at that point where I really don't care anymore. And you know, you're saying that, oh, you're a veteran and you serve this country. Yeah, there's a lot of us who serve this country that don't get the respect that others get. We protect and serve. Just because we didn't serve necessarily here directly, lots of us have, but we still protect and serve. And you know what? Police officers get better respect than we do. But you know what? There's no laws putting them in place to do with the shit that they do. We can't come back here to America as veterans and as service members and beat up people, shoot people, and have a union behind us to get us off. We're not treated the same way. Why? Well, your lives are not at stake. No. Well, you don't have to patrol. What? We have the same exact setup as police officers do. Our shit is just more in depth. So why is it that if we kill somebody, we going straight to prison? If they kill somebody, they get a union to back them, and they never serve a day in jail. They got a trial, they get indicted, whatever, but they never serve a day in jail. Instead of them serving time, they would rather the money from the taxpayers and pay out these lawsuits instead of making these fuckers serve time. Yeah? Does that make sense to you? Okay. All right. So, to wrap this all up, America, I'm no longer in love with you. Matter of fact, I'm just waiting for the better time for me to divorce you. It's got to be for me. It's got to be on my terms that I divorce you. Because everything else has been on your damn terms. Now it's on my terms. Okay? I got the upper hand. Okay? So, I'm going to digress. And I'm going to go to a commercial. And then I'm going to come back. And we're going to discuss a little bit more of something else.
I heard on the news about that 5-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online for like a year. She couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, this is so great.
Uh-huh. I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Obvious. Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, I didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are back here on Blog Talk Radio, Red Journal Radio Show. And tonight our show was about me to get this off my back. As you can see, I got that off my back. I'm throwing away my rings. I'm not even going to put them away. And I'm not giving them back to you. I'm going to throw them away. You know, when you get through with a relationship, you get rid of everything that reminds you of that relationship. Okay. And so, America, that's where I'm at with you guys. Okay? I just don't understand how we could be so surprised at a country that literally hates us, and we continue to live in it. And we continue, even though you might have some white friends that are your friends. I'm not going to say nobody else. I've had a lot of them. Because behind all of this, something had to be created for this to happen. For all of us to be in the point right now, excuse me, my cold tried to come back. For us to be in a point right now when it comes to our economic justice, social issues, government, politically, we're at this. I think it's so fucking amazing that we don't think it's something wrong with America. We really are foolish. You know, there was a picture of, what's her name, Governor Brewer, Jan Brewer, where she, remember the time when she was putting her finger in the president's face? I just wish that was me. Because I swear to God, there would have been no other reaction but to punch her the fuck out. I'm sorry. I would have lost all my presidency. I would have punched her fucking ass out. Totally for the disrespect for the office. Not for him. If it wasn't for me, it's for the office that I stand for. I would have punched her fucking ass out. And I said that and I mean it. I will say it to this day. That burns me up when I see that picture. I would have punched her fucking skinny, skeleton, white ass out. So she would have never got that close to me. You're in my space. And we're taught you don't let people get in your space. And I would have broke her fucking finger. Yeah. I would have probably swung her ass all over, just dragged her all over that tarmac, if that was me. But that was me. And when I looked at that, this is America. Oh, gosh. This is our beautiful America. America. You know, I can't sing worth a shit, but just boils inside me. This is our America. Okay. All right. Anyway. So, that bothered me. And it just kind of started bringing up all these bad feelings that I had been holding in. Like I said, it just took a whole bunch of stuff put together for me to come to this point where I'm tired of how America treats us. And I'm not changing how I feel about how America is. I don't owe anybody any damn thing. No explanation. I have a right to feel the fucking way I do about America right now. Yeah. All right. Now, we have about 2 minutes left, and I just want to throw this at you guys. If you're not busy, if you are busy, you can listen to us all over the place now. I'm trying to make it where everybody can hear us all over the place. We're a Universal Collective Network. We have the Dino Dean Show. We have Sinners on Mass with Terry Lyle. We're on TuneIn right now. We also are Airtime Pro, Universal Collective Network. On there, UCN on there. And you guys can listen to us anytime you want because we're going to be there. In the process, one channel station is already 24 hours. We're trying to work on making the other station 24 hours. So, now, tonight, I will be in my DJ, quote-unquote, mode, and I will be over on UCN, Universal Collective Networks Airtime Pro. I will be over there mixing it up in the Midnight Flight to Heaven. All right? So, you guys, you have a great evening. I shall return tomorrow. You know, Freestyle Friday again. Thank you for listening to my rant. My callers who called in and interrupted me, fuck you. Excuse my language. I'm just going to be honest with you for interrupting my time. Okay? So, again, I want to say, you guys, thank you for listening in to the Red Journal Radio Show. This is your host, Alita, and I am... Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Red Journal Radio Show.
Join us again for more news and information that will stimulate your mind, inspire you to step out your comfort zone.